Well, in the Gospel of Luke, last time we were here, we looked at the prayer, Our Father. We went through that one verse at a time. And we saw that the Lord Jesus didn't want us just to be repeating prayers over and over and over again without really thinking about what was said. We saw the content of that prayer all had purpose and meaning in glorifying God and in making our requests known to God. It had something to do with our relationship with one another. Prayer is not just me and God talking and not relating to other people. If I don't relate right to other people, then my relationship with God is going to be messed up. How important it is that the whole person then is involved, and that we know that God is looking for us to fix our eyes and center on the Lord Jesus Christ first of all, to have our whole life fixed on God, because it is our Father, and it is He who is in heaven, and it is holy is His name, glory to His name, worshiping Him. Your kingdom come, Your will be done. Everything is about God first. And if we put God first in the proper way, wow, what a difference it's going to make in how we treat others and how we regard the things that we own. So as Jesus was teaching them to pray, He gave them that pattern, what we call the Our Father, but He didn't stop there. He took them further in prayer, and that's where we're going to go now in Luke chapter 11, verse 5. We're going further as Jesus gives an illustration about prayer. And in this illustration, here's what He has to say. He says this, He said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. And I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So here's the illustration that he gives. And the illustration he gives is that somebody shows up at midnight, which was not that uncommon in that country, because remember, they walked. They walked from one place to the other. And it was the highest inconsideration that if a person came to your door, if you had nothing to give to them, if you didn't offer them something, then you were considered a terrible host. So this man, Jesus is appealing, of course, to the culture of that day. And so as he gives this story, and so this man is in a panic. He has nothing to give the friend that has come and showed up at midnight, and he has no bread for him, so he's got to do something. So what does he do? He goes next door. Well, we don't know how close next door was, but anyway, he goes to another friend that he has, and he begins to knock on his door at midnight. And he begins to ask him, he says, I need some bread. Lend me 3 loaves. Now you might say, oh, wow, 3 loaves, the guy must be really hungry. But when you see loaves in the Bible, you're not talking about Alcoin's bread, okay? You're talking more like 3 buns, like, you know, the rolls, 3 rolls is really what he was asking for. Lend me 3 loaves, he says, because I have nothing to set before him. My friend has come on this journey. And remember that he's appealing to a friend, right? But it's midnight, the guy's tired, and he says something that might sound a little strange to you, because he said from within, don't trouble me. The door is now shut. And my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. Most of the common people would not have the luxury if everybody has their own bedroom. Indeed, not even the luxury. They would have like a huge mat is really what there would be. And on that mat, often, because there was no place else, the children would be sleeping on that mat, and so would be the husband and the wife. They would all sleep on the same mat. And that was just the way it was. It wasn't something, it was just the way it was. Now, I remember hearing a story of a home in Margaree. I think there was 15 or 16 kids in the house. Well, it was looked like more like a shed size than a house. And I heard that when there was no room for everybody to lay down at the same time. So what they would do is once somebody fell asleep, that they would stand them up and lean them against this board on the wall. But I don't know if that was true or not, but probably not. Maybe it was stretched a little. But they didn't have big homes. And so when they got in there, they were all in this bed. So for him to get up was a huge inconvenience, you see. For him to get up meant what was going to happen? Yeah, you know the old story. Whatever you do, don't wake the baby, right? Yeah. Well, in this circumstance, there was going to be a whole household awakened because this guy had to get out of bed. So he was, you can just imagine him saying, "Don't trouble me. The door's shut. The children are in bed. I can't rise and I can't give it to you. Go find somebody else." That's basically what he was saying to this guy. But Jesus says this, "I say to you, though he won't rise and give to him because he's his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." In other words, the guy, if he's given the illustration that the guy didn't go away. The guy kept on, "Come on, you gotta give me. You gotta do it." So which was worse? He knows he's gonna wake up the whole household anyway, right? So he might as well get up and get rid of the guy, right? Now, maybe he had some words, choice words to tell him the next day. I don't know. But the illustration that Jesus is giving here is that somebody who is persistent often gets what they are looking for. But if there is no persistence, often you won't get very much at all. You won't get anything. And so he's giving this illustration about prayer, and he's saying, "I want you to learn to be persistent in prayer. I want you to learn to keep on praying. Keep on asking." Now, you know, the thing about prayer, sometimes what we're thinking is that prayer is somehow getting God to connect to us. But really, prayer is this. It's you getting connected to God. It is you breaking through to God. God doesn't have big walls and barriers up, friends. It's us that have the walls and the barriers up. Our understanding of God, our understanding of our needs, our understanding of our circumstances are often so twisted and warped that we don't really know what we should ask for. And we don't really know how to pray. You know, it's like if you take your child into the grocery store and, you know, the child sees, you know, the chocolate bar counter. "I want some of those. I want some of those." "Oh, yes, of course. You can have all you want. Let's fill the basket with them." Is that what you would do as a parent? No. "Oh, I want some of that. I want that. I want that." No. Lots of times the parent's saying, "No, you can't have that. No, you can't have that." And I've heard that many times in the store. And I think I've said it a few times to Grace when she was little. "No, you can't have that. You can't have that." And, you know, sometimes in the end, you feel so bad as a parent because you're saying, "You can't have that. You can't have that." So finally, what did they end up getting? Something, don't they? Right? Because what are they? Persistent. Right? They don't stop. They keep on looking and asking, right? And so the illustration that Jesus gives here is to show us that, you know, that God wants you and I to be persistent in prayer. So let me encourage you to something. Keep on praying. Keep on asking. I've spoken to people and I said, "Well, you know, listen, ask God about it." "Well, you know, I did ask him and nothing happened. So that's it. That's over." That's not the way prayer is. Prayer is you lining up with God. Because as you ask and as you spend time praying, it's amazing how God begins to change you and change your perspective on things. And sometimes you end up actually the very thing that you were asking for, you don't want that anymore. There's something entirely different because you realize there's something far greater. The whole purpose of prayer is so that you can get into a more intimate relationship with God. And I'll tell you what, it's more important than the things that you're praying for. The things that you're praying for, most of those are fleeting, temporary, and in a year's time, it wouldn't matter. They don't matter. But what really matters is your ongoing relationship with God. And what he wants to do is for you to cultivate that relationship with him. And sometimes crisis and need drives us to prayer. In this situation, as Jesus gives this story, the other thing to notice is that very thing, is that there was need. If there had been no need, do you think that guy would have went to the guy's house at midnight and started banging on his door? No. But he was in need, and to him it was a desperate need. And so sometimes we find ourselves in places of need. But I can tell you this, places of need are places of blessing. Because if you didn't have any needs, what would you not be doing? Praying. And that's often the case. Sometimes God allows you to be found in circumstances that are way beyond your capacity to handle. Way beyond what you have the need, the means to be able to supply in. And that is a good thing, friends, that God allows you to be in hard places. Because hard places turn your heart to prayer. They turn your heart to seek God. And it isn't some casual thing. Not when the need is great. Not when the chips are down. Not when you're in a circumstance where you are overwhelmed. Then you're crying out to God. Then there's real, genuine crying out to God going on. Not flippant, you know, okay, well, it's time to say your prayers. Blah, 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 good night. Not that. Not empty words any longer. But heartfelt cries to the living God. So God does allow us to go through trials. God does permit us to be found in places of need so that we might call on the name of the Lord and that we might break through in prayer to God. I don't understand everything there is to know about prayer, but I know that prayer is not just meant to be, you know, a quick conversation and that's the end of the story. I know that God has some interesting things to teach us in prayer. I'm going to jump ahead back to the Old Testament for a moment and look at a story where Elijah the prophet was. Now, Elijah had just been dealing with the prophets of Baal, and there had been 3.5 years of no rain. It had been a great drought on the land, and that drought was crippling to the entire nation, and that drought came because they had turned their backs on God. That because of the king that was there, Ahab, a wicked, wicked man, and Jezebel, his wife, a wicked woman, had caused such grief in Israel that God caused a judgment to come on the nation of Israel where there was no rain. But then after the dealing with those prophets of Baal up on the top of that mountain where the God who answered by fire in 1 Kings 18:41, Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain." You see, God had already told Elijah that it was going to rain. He had promised Elijah that. And so there was a promise now that the prophets of Baal had been dealt with, now the judgment had came, blessing was coming. And the blessing was going to come that there was going to be rain for Israel. Israel that was starving and crying for rain. So it says Ahab went up to eat and drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, the mountain. And then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. What do you think he was doing? He was praying for rain. But why would he be praying for rain if God already told him it was going to rain?
He wanted the rain now.
Okay. Pardon me?
So Ahab would know that he answered the prayer.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, Ahab wasn't there.
God uses his word. Sometimes he wants us to pray for it to come true.
Absolutely. That's the truth of the matter. God reveals the truth in his word, but then he wants you it to become part of you. God has chosen to involve us in the work that he does. He has chosen for you to be part of his work. That's an amazing thing. And so even though God said it was going to rain, God chose to use Elijah to bring it to pass. And so Elijah gets up there and he begins to pray for rain. You know, God can reveal his will in a wonderful way. Now last year, remember, I've told you this story enough times, but I want to use it as an illustration this morning. As I was up here praying that we'd be in this building by the next fall, I felt a prayer that was from God. Yes, we will be. That I could ask God to be in this building by next fall, and it was going to happen. And I was sure of it. And then Sunday morning, I shared it with the congregation. And, I mean, I didn't know how it was going to happen. But did that mean, since I prayed that prayer up in this building, that we'll be in here by next fall, and it's going to happen, there's no need of praying about any of that anymore. We won't have to pray about that. Let's move on and pray for other things. No, I prayed. And believe me, when this fall came, and it was looking tight that we'd be in by the fall, I did a lot of praying. Right? And because, Lord, you said this, and I'm looking to you to bring that answer. I kept on praying. Persistent prayer is real. And that's what Elijah, even though he had been told what was going to happen, he turns it into prayer. Listen, turn everything into prayer. Can I encourage you to do that? Turn every circumstance into prayer. Learn what it is to bring everything to the throne. Whether it's the blessings of God, whether it's the problems or the trials, whether it's the circumstances of life, turn it all to prayer. Take every circumstance and bring it to the Lord. He is faithful and He will listen to you. If He will listen, if the friend will listen because of his much persistence, surely God, who loves you and cares for you, will listen to your heart's cry. Turn it to prayer and keep on praying. Now let's look at this story a little further, because it says that Elijah bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. He was humbled before the Lord. Lord, it's time for that rain. Lord, let me see that rain. He said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. So he went up and looked. He said, there's nothing. There's nothing. So here's the word from God. It's going to rain. Elijah goes out on a limb and he declares it. It's going to rain. No rain. Not only no rain, Elijah goes to prayer. He says, go see if rain's coming. Guy goes up. Guy comes back. Nothing. What's Elijah going to do now? Look what it says here. And so he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. Can you imagine? Seven times. Now, can you imagine? The guy comes back, there's nothing. Elijah prays some more. He says, now go look. Guy goes up. Nothing. Comes back. Nothing. What does Elijah do? He keeps on praying. Seven times that happens. Now that didn't happen in 5 seconds. That happened over a period of time. It might have been a few hours. I don't know how long. But he was there on his face. And he kept on saying, go again, go again, go again. And he kept on praying. There's a lesson in there somewhere for us, isn't there? There must be. That God is showing us that he wants us to be persistent in prayer. That he actually wants you to be active in this work somehow. Do I understand all of that? No. Could God have caused it to rain the first time he prayed? Could he? Of course he could have. There's a reason for it. And the reason that I can see as I look through the scriptures is that God is interested in you building and growing in your relationship with him. More than anything, he wants you with him. And we are such a people that if there's not a crisis, most of the time we're not praying. We might give our little token prayers, but I'll tell you, when the chips are down and we got nowhere else to turn, we're talking to God. They say there's no atheists in the foxholes. Why? Because they're facing death. They're facing absolute mayhem and destruction, and there's nowhere else to turn, nowhere else to lean on.
Okay.
Yes?
I was just thinking, Ahab had to wait seven times he prayed. You
know? Not Ahab.
I mean,
Elijah. Yeah.
Elijah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was thinking, we're in the same predicament, because like Elijah, Jesus is coming back.
Yeah.
We're praying. We're waiting for him to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So we're on our knees praying every day to God. You know?
Yeah.
And it's almost like Elijah did the same thing. Wait for the rain, we'll wait for Jesus.
Yeah. Now, God had an appointed time for everything to happen. He has an appointed time when Jesus comes back. We don't even know the day or the hour. But even the Bible says in the New Testament, even so come, Lord Jesus. There's a prayer to that effect. And so God has chosen prayer to be part of that work of God. And so then we discover that it came to pass the seventh time, he said, after seven times of praying, the guy goes back up and he said, there's a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So there was not a cloud in the sky, you see, this whole time. And finally, he says, ah, there's a cloud the size of a man's hand coming out of the sea. I can see something. And immediately, what does Elijah says, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot, go down before the rain stops you. It happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. God knew what he was doing, and God knows what he's doing. May I encourage you to persist in prayer. May I encourage you to go farther and go deeper with God. Don't stay on the periphery with God. Go farther. Go deeper. And as you go farther, as you seek the face of God, you'll be amazed at the other things that God will be doing in your experience. You'll be amazed at your relationship growing with God. And you will discover the generosity and the goodness of Almighty God. For in this passage of scripture that we read with Jesus in Luke chapter 11 in verse 9, he says this, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks it will be opened." Now, do you see these here? These are progressive. The first one is asking. What's the second one? Seeking. That goes further, doesn't it? And the next one is what? Knocking. You see the picture that he's giving here? He's saying, don't just settle for, oh yeah, okay, I got a need. Let me just ask you for something. No. Ask, seek, knock. Go all the way in. Don't stay back. Go all the way with God. You see, most people who have, you know, some troubled circumstances or some problems in their life, who don't have a relationship with God, well, you know, every once in a while they appreciate the value of prayer. And many people do, even though they're not interested in Jesus or being born again or the Bible. Well, when there's trouble, it's good, hopefully prayer will do something. We'll give it a try anyway, right? But that's not asking. That may be asking, but that's not seeking, and that's not knocking. Asking, seeking, knocking is going further, further, further. It's like, I got a friend out here and he needs something. And so you're, you know, maybe showing from a distance. Then it's up at the door. Then he's at the window. I got a friend out here who needs 3 loaves. And finally, the guy's not coming. I got a friend out here who needs 3 loaves. And he's banging on the door. Well, the guy's getting up then. Now, I don't know. Good thing there were no shotguns in those days. But he's getting up. He's coming to the door. Because the person is persistent. The picture that's given here is this seeking, this going farther. And praise the Lord that it's true, friends. God wants to take you further in. But he wants you to come. He wants you to persist in prayer. He wants you to go beyond the token prayers that we so often have. And friends, I have found over the years, even amongst evangelical preachers and pastors, and you get together to pray, I'll tell you, the shortest part of every meeting is the prayer time. It usually is. It's a token prayer, and let's move on to the business. Let's move on to this. Let's move on to that. And in the meantime, what God wants us is to ask. But he wants us to go farther than asking. He wants us to seek his face. He wants us to be knocking there. Lord, this is what we need. Pardon me? He does. He wants us to go all the way in with him. Don't hang back. Go farther. Go deeper. Quickly, I'll share a story I've already told. You guys are getting to hear stories over and over. Some of you haven't, but I was in PEI one morning, one night, and I was preaching the next morning, and we were staying in the church. There was a bed in the back upstairs, and Marie and I were staying there. So the church was down below, and about maybe 3-4 in the morning, I got up, and I wanted a move of God. Lord, we need more than what's happening here. I was there preaching the gospel. People were coming and listening, but we wanted people to be saved. And I got down on my knees, and I started praying, and I was walking through where the little church, it wasn't much bigger than this, and praying for, I remember some of the people that were sitting there, and I visited them in their homes, and as I was praying and I was seeking the Lord, and all of a sudden it seemed like, whoa, God was there. It was maybe an hour's praying, and suddenly I was in the presence of God in a fresh way, and I was so glorious. And I said, "Thanks, Lord, your presence is here." So then I headed up for bed. By that time, it was about maybe 5 o'clock in the morning, and it was just like I was on my way up the stairs, and it was like God said to me, "Where are you going? You just connected with me, and you're leaving." Oh, and I realized, I can go deeper here. I just connected. The first couple of hours was only just making the connection right. Now, the connection's not broken on God's side. It's broken on mine. The clutter, the care, everything else that goes on in this world. So, you know, we it's us that are far away from God, not God that's far away from us. He's so near. And we miss the depth of that connection. And when we finally get it, let's not walk away from it, but let's go deeper. Let's spend quality, deep, lasting time with God. Maybe we need to shift in our prayer lives. Maybe we need to go much further than we have. Because we get all our little requests in, and then we move on. But do we really meet with God? You know, if I, My wife and I have been married a long time. But how would you think it would be if every day I came to her and I said, here's my list for today, dear. Would you make sure you do all these things? She goes through, yeah, I think so. Okay, thank you, dear. I'll have another one for you tomorrow. How do you think our relationship would go?
And that's the way most are.
Pardon me?
And that's the way most are. The relationship with God. Lord.
Yeah. That doesn't work, does it? No. But we think it works with God, right? Well, God, here's the things I want. And when we're done, tell him what we want. Okay, tomorrow I'll have another list for you. Every day I got my little list. But there's no heart in that. There's no passion in that. There's no life in that. But I'll tell you, when it's asking, when it's seeking, when it's knocking, when it's pursuing God, there's something deeper there.
You have to be careful what you ask for.
Yes.
One time I had asked we would have more contact with our neighbors, and we had gotten some new cows, and they had put them out in the field instead of in the corral, and they were all over the neighbors' lawns and gardens. And
I got to meet the neighbors and more contact.
Why are you doing this to us? And then I realized he was answering my prayer.
God can answer the prayers any way he wants to, can't he? Yes. Yeah. It's a beautiful passage of scripture here, friends. And let me encourage you, maybe a shift this week in your prayer life. Really, my ministry and preaching, my desire, my passion in preaching is that your lives change as a result of it. If you come to store a little more knowledge in between your cranium, go read a book. Go watch a TV evangelist or something, because that's not what my heart is. My heart is that you are transformed to be more like Jesus Christ in your day-to-day conduct. So my prayer is that you will discover a deeper place in prayer this week, that you will be go a little deeper, stay a little longer. Don't just say a few prayers and move on, but actually get to know this wonderful God who is passionate about you and loves you. In Luke 11:11, Jesus said this: if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent, a snake instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Now, Jesus is teaching here on prayer, right? Remember, the question was, teach us to pray, right? If you then, being evil, whoa, what does he say here? If you then, being evil, God knows the human race, and he knows that we're more evil than we think. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? Now he brings it home in this way. He brings it home in this fashion, because he says, listen, he said, as generous as people are, and let's face it, you can have the head of the mafia. Is he good to his children? He good to his children. What's that?
Until they deceive him.
Well, the family. Family's a big thing, right? In the mafia. So he's good to his children. But would that cause him any hesitation to blow your brains out if you got in his way?
No.
Not at all. So he's evil, but he's still good to his family, right? Good to his kids. That's what Jesus has given the illustration of here. Even as evil as somebody is, they will still look after family, right? And he says, listen, if this is how even evil people will treat their own, how do you think I'm going to treat you? Do you think I really love you? Do you think I really care? Do you think that I'm really willing? Oh, let me tell you, he says here, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, who is a good Father, who is a kind Father? And the Bible actually says this. Now listen, he is kind to the unthankful and the unholy. That's how good God is. He's kind to unthankful and unholy people. Give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him. But we find something else here. We find that he brings it around to saying, here's what you really need. You need the Holy Spirit. This is what you really need to be asking, seeking, and knocking for. There are a lot of good things that you could be seeking for, but this is the greatest thing, because the Holy Spirit is none other than what? Is God himself. God himself available to those who ask him. What I need most of to make it through a day with some strength and power and love and forgiveness and grace and mercy is the Holy Spirit. It is God's Spirit working in me, filling me up and controlling me, filling me with the love of God, filling me so the fruit of the Spirit comes out of my love, joy, my life, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. Jesus brings it home by emphasizing here what you really should be asking for. So ask God, fill me with your Spirit, Lord. Seek to be filled with the Spirit. Knock. Say, Lord, let me be a Spirit-filled man. Now, I want to say something here. In the New Testament, the book of Ephesians, and I got to quit, it says in Ephesians, be continually filled with the Spirit. That's the tense. And so I might experience the Spirit of God working in my life 20 years ago, but I can't rely on 20 years ago. I need the fullness of the Spirit of God this morning. I need his presence comforting, encouraging, teaching, drawing me, doing whatever needs to be done in my life. And the person of the Holy Spirit is more important than anything else that you could be asking for. Because, in essence, what he is saying here, and this is the truth of the matter, friends, if you have the fullness of the Spirit of God in your life, it will color everything else. It will affect all the other circumstances, the troubling circumstance, the problems over here, the physical needs we have, everything that's going on. I can find a solace, a comfort, and a direction from the Holy Spirit himself. So your chief need in your life is to be a person who is filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the first thing in order to have that is you have to be born again. You have to be born of the Spirit in order to be filled with the Spirit. That's the first step, and that is to repent of your sins, put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and allow the Holy Spirit to come in and take over. And then the ongoing experience of the believer is the Spirit of God daily having his way in your heart and in your life. Here's Jesus' wonderful teachings on prayer, that he wants us to be persistent, to keep on seeking, keep on asking, keep on knocking, that he wants us to go for the best that there is, friends. And that's none other than God himself dwelling with you, in communion with you, living in absolute surrender to Jesus Christ in the moment. Father, we pray today that you will teach us and you will carry us, Lord. Teach us to pray, Lord. Carry us forward now in prayer, O God. Let this be a week of going deeper with God. Let us be a week where we set more time aside to pray. Where we, Lord, have a deeper focus in prayer. Where, Lord, our focus is you and being filled with you. Oh, Lord. Oh, God, I'm sure every one of us here could say we need to be more of a Spirit-filled congregation. So make it happen, oh, God, we pray, and take us further in this way, in Jesus' name.